And I am so pleased to be able to welcome you here this evening to our affirming service, our service of celebration of officially becoming an affirming church in the United Church of Canada. Gosh, I don't know what to say. I'm so excited that we got to this point. We're just really thankful that you're here. Do join us for a time of fellowship following the service. Just come out the doors here and head to your left. There's a beautiful cake out there, and there's coffee and tea and juice. No coffee and tea. Juice. There's juice. Juice and water. And we'll have a wonderful opportunity to have some conversation together. For those of you who don't know me, if you happen to show up here on a Sunday morning, you'd see the same thing. So it's just who I am. So as we gather, we're going to light our candles. We have a series of candles that were lit this last summer at our Pride service. And these candles have been lit on several occasions as we have had conversations about becoming affirming, as we have studied and prayed and walked together. And so we light these candles in the name of Christ, who is light, who is love, who is joy, and who is inclusion in our lives. And we have a special candle we're going to light this evening from our brothers and sisters at Forest Hill United Church in Fredericton. And so we light this candle with thanks for joining with us this night as we celebrate. As we begin, let us center ourselves for the worship of God with Charles, our musician.
We are the body of Christ, the hand-clapping, toe-tapping, heart-pumping, mouth-tasting, arms-embracing, justice-seeking, hymn-singing, love-making, bread-baking, risk-taking.
Body of Christ.
Baptized in one spirit, we are members of one body.
Many and varied, gender, color, sexuality.
None of us can say to another, I have no need of you.
For only together can we find wholeness.
None of us can say to another, I will not care for you.
For we are connected like muscle and bone. If one suffers, we all suffer. If one rejoices, we all rejoice.
Thanks be to God who, in Christ, has made us one.
Let us worship God.
I invite you to join me in prayer. We give thanks, merciful God, that in Christ you seek to unite all things in heaven and in earth, and to reconcile all people to one another and you.
We confess that the new creation is not yet complete in us, and that we feel everywhere the barriers that separate humankind. Forgive us and fill us with your spirit of oneness. Reveal us those places where pride and selfishness rebuild the walls once torn down in Christ. Through the power of your spirit, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our opening hymn today is My Love Colors Outside the Lines, More Voices, number 138.
What's the good word we have for the world? What do we say through the worship and witness of our church?
We say we believe in God, known in Jesus Christ. We say, let there be justice and peace.
We say, come and accept the cost and joy of discipleship. We say, our congregation is open and affirming.
It is good to voice our beliefs and commitments, but say what we will, even in angelic tones, if we do not love each other, our talk is cheap. We shall sound to the world like clanging cymbals.
We thank God for the joy of learning. We are curious about the world within us, the world around us, and the worlds beyond us. We wonder about the creator of it all. Exploring tradition, scripture, and experience, we pray and reason together. Our faith seeks understanding.
It is good to grow in knowledge and wisdom, but even if we knew everything, even if we had a mountain-moving faith, if we do not love each other, we have gained nothing.
What does love ask of us?
Love asks that we be patient and kind as we build an inclusive faith community, that we abandon the ignorance, that we risk new things, that we do not delight in the failings of others, that we rejoice in discerning and living God's truth.
Love is strong. It believes and hopes and endures, but sometimes even love falters. Then we may forgive and accept forgiveness so that love may be renewed, sustained by God's Spirit. Three things abide within and among us: faith, hope, and love.
And the greatest of these is love.
Reading first tonight from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, the greatest commandment. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. And also reading from John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to introduce Leslie Hamilton, Reverend Leslie Hamilton. But to us, she's Leslie because she was with us for 2 years as a student and as an intern, and this is where we think she learned all the good stuff. Leslie came here, I'll never forget this, to check us out when she was a student. I don't know if she remembers this story. And she and Joan were here, and they were sitting up in the front. And I came over and introduced myself. And she said, "Well, I'm coming. I hope I don't screw it up," as she said. And I said, "Leslie, you make all your mistakes here. That's what we're for." She didn't make too many. And right now, Leslie, after she left us, she went to New Brunswick. But she's now in Shelburne. That is an affirming church. So she's quite happy with that. So you'll get a chance to talk to her. I think she's been glad-handing beforehand anyway. I think she's running for mayor of Dartmouth or something. So please welcome Reverend Leslie Hamilton.
I'm awful glad to be here. I did make a lot of my mistakes here, and I'm never any less nervous in the pulpit. That's never gone away at all. Anyway, so I identify as queer. I use the word queer for three reasons. The first is that it's a lovely word. It's such a lovely word, queer. And it's a word that has been kidnapped for evil. Hating queer people is evil. Queer people are not evil. And so I wrestle that lovely word back into my world every day, and evil will have to find another. And I know it makes some uncomfortable, and I'm sorry about that, but it must be done for love. Queer is a beautiful word. The second reason is that the string of letters to describe the other than straight sex gender community expands all the time, as it should. And I deeply respect every person's right to be described as they identify. I tend to forget all the letters to be truly inclusive. It's really hard to sound credible in community if you keep messing up the letters. And that's me. So LGBTQQIP2SAA. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, pansexual, two-spirited, asexual, and allies. But it could have changed this afternoon. So today I'm going to use the word queer to be able to speak in a less tongue-twisted kind of way. And the third reason I use the word queer is because I really like almost all of the dictionary words to describe queer. I like very much the word odd. I like the words used to describe me: odd, strange, unusual, peculiar, bizarre, weird, and uncanny. And I feel gloriously unique and well-loved, dressed in these words. And they are, like me, a little odd. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and loving God, blow your Holy Spirit through this place so that between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, your word might be proclaimed. Amen. Rainbows. It's what we do. We wander the world looking for rainbows. Queer people, we search our lives and your world for rainbows. We search the world for signs of life in this way. Rainbows are a sign of life to oppressed peoples. Rainbows are a sign of life to oppressed peoples. And when there are rainbows about, my body relaxes a little. As a queer person, my fight-flight response is activated to some degree most of the time. It's necessary. Maybe that's why the suicide rate is so much higher in the queer community. When there are rainbows about, I can breathe and rest. When there are rainbows about, I know that there are few people around who get it. when there are rainbows about, I know that there are a few people in the vicinity that know that I and my queer body are not the problem. When there are rainbows about, I know there are a few people who will be more likely than not to step up. And when there are rainbows about, I know there are a few people around who understand that hate, fear, empire, and ignorance are the problems. As Joan, my spouse, and I explore the Maritimes in Miss Pearl, Miss Pearl is our 1990 $1,200 Chevy Road Trek camper van that I sanded with two palm sanders and 40 grit, and that we trim clad with dollar store rollers. And she did 6,000 kilometers last summer. And what we do is we drive around and we stop and we walk in lovely small towns and drive around the ocean roads and explore beaches everywhere. And we sleep in Walmart parking lots and campgrounds and once in a U-Haul storage place. Our first question when we travel is always, without exception, in one form or another, is this a rainbow place? Or to say it another way, if I mess up and grab my spouse's hand or jump up and kiss her cheek because she is so funny, will that be okay? That was someone's tummy or a great big no? Would you like to come and help me finish this? That would be great. You come to here. You can tell me if I'm doing anything wrong. So if I mess up, what happens? And then I realize the sentence I said. I said, if I mess up, and I must school myself again and again and again and again and again and again and again that I'm not messing things up. Hate, ignorance, empire, and fear are messing things up. But in the world, so often, the world says it's me messing up, imposing my queerness on you. By drawing attention to myself during the act of loving, working, preaching, and living in to my natural state. And make absolutely no mistake, I am exactly right by God's eternal love. Exactly right. It would be really wonderful if Superstore could rainbow up. In St. Stephen last summer, a man walked by Joan and I as he was coming out of the main entrance of the store, and we were walking in, and he yelled, "Sick! Sick! Sick!" with spit, and quite loudly. Many others heard, of course, and rushed away. In that sick moment, I felt like a jackal walking through a dream, and you wake up heart pounding, mind racing, disoriented, cold, thirsty, and robed in sweat. Like that. I felt like that. And we, Joan and I, clasp hands side by side, heads down, push through, get a cart, hearts pounding, can't find the shopping list. Why are we here? Oh, yeah, buy food. And we try to recapture the task at hand and fail, with stares and whispers accompanying us, aisle by aisle as we go. Two frozen, gray, silent creatures talking to each other only with their eyes. And we don't take home the food we wanted in the end. The outreach committee of my former church and I put up 11 pride posters on Superstore's community board over 4 days. Nobody yelled at us. Nobody told us no. They just watched us come in and took them down when we left. We know we went in pairs. We waited and we watched. Our poster for Shrove Tuesday pancakes fared much better. It might actually still be there. It would be great if superstores everywhere could rainbow up. They are not very good at it, in my experience. The thing about hate is that it's savvy. Haters also know what I know, that when there are rainbows about, there are a few people in the vicinity that know I and my queer body are not the problem. In Revelations, John tells us, "Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. She was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above her head. Her face was like the sun, and her legs were like fiery pillars." This is what I aspire to be as a rainbow person. We queers and our allies, all of you as a newly minted affirming congregation, we queers and our allies are strong, mighty, of heaven, robed in God's cloud, the light of Christ shining forth, and we are tough and persistent and hot like fire. Rainbows are a sign of life to oppressed people the world over. And I suppose we have to touch on the texts of terror, the clobber passages, the seven deadly sins of queerness. I suppose we must, those seven Bible passages articulated in Christendom to condemn sex and gender diversity. Sodom and Gomorrah, those two sorry little towns. Sodom and Gomorrah is a lesson about radical hospitality that these communities failed and that Christendom hijacked and re-scripted as a lesson in sexual morality. How this managed to happen is beyond me. A story of an imminent gang rape of angel men can be turned toward a prohibition on same-sex relations. I don't know. I suppose it's because the rapists were offered women instead and turned Lot down. They wanted the men. The moral of this tale is, and always has been and always will be, if strangers appear in your community, any kind of stranger, you are to treat them as divine angels of God. You are to feed them, clothe them, give them rest, and listen to their stories. And God, please help me, there's Leviticus, the Bible's law library, dry as old bones and just as boring for most of us, most of us. Leviticus tells us there are 613 things we are to do or not do. This is the legislation of antiquity. There are to be no fabric mixing in your clothing. In other words, that means all cotton, rayon, non-iron blends have to go. We're going to be a wrinkled bunch. Goodbye, Old Navy, The Gap, and Walmart, to name only a few. H&M's gone too. No good cheap clothes, no more. No tattoos, we're all going to hell. And Maritimers, no shellfish. Seriously, no shellfish. And we are to kill animals almost daily for God, sacrifice them at the altar, even if we're starving. An appeasement, if you will. And we are to stone adulterers. So there's all that nonsense and then the endless list of all the sleeping around you can't do. Mostly it talks about incest and familial sex, then a little adultery and bestiality. It says don't do that, okay? Then it says the man lying with man part and the word abomination. The abomination word, it refers to worshiping false gods. And once again, the procurers of temple sex workers are being vilified, threatened with eternal damnation for worshiping sex as a false idol. Prostitution, sex work, was abominable to the Jewish people, whether the men were paying other men or women. And Paul, poor beleaguered St. Paul, enemy of second-wave feminism and many of those who follow, When Paul says those fateful words, it's once again about a form of sex work, pederasty. Pederasty was an ancient practice whereby older men had sex with pubescent boys, pretending it was to teach them how to be good lovers. Ludicrous. There is no evidence whatsoever in the Bible that men wanted to practice being good lovers to women. It's got to be 3,000 pages of, no, I can't find it. It wasn't a thing. Pleasing women was not a thing. Paul was threatening us with hell, yes, for what we would name today, perhaps, at worst, pedophilia, and at best, a same-sex version of sugar daddies and sugar babies. You know what that is? Yeah. I'm sorry, I can only do three. The other four clobber passages are similar and different, but more of the same, and Google can tell you all about it. I sometimes resent, not always, but I sometimes resent quite deeply the expectation that queers defend themselves against these seven passages. I would rather defend God and the over 2,000 passages that insist in endless ways that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And I don't experience Empire Christians defending their excess while the world starves. Tit for tat, tit for tat. And I've been thinking a great deal the last few weeks about what it means to become an affirming congregation, trying to think about it beyond the usual, beyond this reinterpretation of the texts of terror that we queers get up to, beyond defending, defining, reimagining, and/or theologizing the seven deadly passages. And beyond contemporary ideals of inclusion and diversity, which, let's face it, they're secular ideals that liberal progressive Christians have joined in on, and rightly so. Becoming an affirming congregation for me is about enlivening the gospel of radical love. It's about embracing Christianity and allowing Christendom to fall away. This thing happened long, long, long ago that co-opted Christ into empire, a thing that is so completely part of us, we rarely even think about it. It just is. We know the story. Christ is a young Jewish man who rewrites the faith, adapts the Leviticus code to articulate God's love, aside from cultural and social norms. And he brings us a new covenant, our Bible passages today. It's as if he's saying, no matter what your society looks like, no matter what your society looks like, no matter the rules you make to govern life, love, work, food, sex, and fighting, it's as if Christ is saying, remember me, remember this. Everything is to be about love and equity for all. And rainbows are the sign of life for oppressed peoples. They are all about love and equity for all. Jesus' followers languished for 300 years at the beginning, trying to be love in relative obscurity, while being periodically persecuted and ignored. Then, as we know, in the 4th century, Rome's Emperor Constantine converted to Christianity, and it became the official religion of Rome, of Europe, the Holy Roman Empire. This was the birth of Christendom, which is mandated Christianity. Christendom is the conflation of church and state, and the falling together of two words, Christ and dominion. And dominion means to rule, to govern, to be the establishment. And in this way, Christ became empire. And since then, we as Christians have colluded with power to exclude people from the church and society. We became, and some of us still are, arbiters of people's behavior, their moral behavior, on behalf of the state. And we took up the mantle of empire. I know it's easy for us in the United Church to miss the money and the pews and the power. I have read and have had many conversations over the years that culminated in one version or another of, did you know at one time that the moderator of the United Church used to have lunch with the Prime Minister and talk things over? While it was always said to me with the greatest regret and romantic nostalgia for a lost age, I celebrate it. I can't even help it. As a person of God's rainbow, I want Christianity. I don't want empire. I want to lead a Christ-centered community. I want the radical love of inclusion and diversity, that which is born of Christ. I don't want us to have the money and the power we once did, because it furthers the state's agenda and stifles Christ's way. I love what Christendom calls the failing church with all my heart, because the failing church is a rainbow church doing the work of restoring God's new covenant. The failing church can do this glorious rainbow work only because Big Brother is no longer watching. And rainbows are a sign of life for oppressed peoples, those whom Christ serves exclusively. Amen. Thank you very much for having me. I feel like I've come home this evening, and I am overjoyed to see all of you. Thank you. And thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. I'd like to invite Ann Hebb up. Ann is representing Affirm United. She's a member of Bedford United. She's got some words from Affirm United and a certificate. Thank you.
Good evening. I bring greetings on behalf of Affirm United. We are a charitable organization of United Church people with three main goals: education, to promote greater awareness of sexual orientation and gender identity issues, action and advocacy, working to end discrimination against people in church, society, and our own organization, support helping people of all sexual orientations and gender identities to find support and community within the United Church. And you can find more about us on, if you Google us, on Affirm United. We partner with the United Church to address social issues both within and outside the church. Our signature program at Affirm United is the Affirming Ministry Program, which you have just completed here at Coal Harbor Woodside United. And we are very excited to have you, having made this commitment to be an affirming ministry. You're the 16th affirming ministry in Nova Scotia, and you join over 200 affirming ministries across Canada. And as well, there are over 140 ministries currently in the affirming ministry program across Canada. So that's a wonderful growing movement. And let me read the certificate that's been given to you. We acknowledge that this community of faith has completed the Affirming Ministry Educational Program and has issued a statement of faith and action which welcomes people of all sexual orientations and gender identity into every aspect of their life and work. Congratulations and blessings as you journey on, seeking justice and hospitality for all.
We have a hymn, number one, in More Voices, Let Us Build a House.
Let us join together in prayer. The response is written in bold. Blessed God, we give you thanks for our many gifts, for the gifts of our race, gender, sexual orientation, and for the sacraments of relationship and community that grow from these gifts. Sanctify our hearts that our lives may glorify and show forth your healing powers. God, we give you thanks because you give us the wisdom to discern justice and the courage to stand for peace. Blessed God, thank you for delivering us out of the mire of injustice that pollutes, disrespects, and dismisses the needs and concerns of women, the homeless, and minorities throughout the world. Holy Spirit, our teacher, teach us to be aware of when our own freedoms infringe on the rights and freedoms of others. Holy Spirit of life, thank you for the gift of those who give their hearts of empathy, who reach out with support and understanding to gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people, and to those of every race, color, creed, and circumstance all over our world. Our hymn is "I Have Called You by Your Name," More Voices, number 161.
Closing prayer. We will try to be holy and useful. We will strive to repair the word given to us and on. Let us lift each other on our shoulders and carry each other along. Let us see the light in others and honor that light. Let holiness move us. Praise the light that shines before us, through us, after us. Amen.
Thank you all for being here this evening and for celebrating with us. I invite us to stand for the blessing. which I just lost. Hold on. As you go from this time and this place, may your gifts transform and enliven all, that we may live lives of thanksgiving. May God's presence be among us and provoke in us such longing for God's realm that we will never be satisfied until the whole earth knows justice, peace, and love. Amen.
Join us in the hall afterwards. Thank you.